Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning to each of you folk. Good to be able to see you this morning. And we all have a common purpose. We want to meet the Lord. And I can't think of a better way to do it than opening God's word and letting Him speak to us personally. And best thing we can do, I think, is just pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. He put this song together many years ago through David. So let's ask Him to breathe on it and apply it to our lives. So let's come together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for a brand new day, Lord. We know You're here with us, and You were here even before we got on our computers. And we just thank You that You wrote this psalm, Lord, through David. And Lord, I just pray that as we would go through this psalm, that You would allow us to feel in a sense what he felt, but also to know how You interacted with him and how You interact with us. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would just highlight to each of us the parts of this psalm that really we need to hear with fresh ears. So Lord, we just give You this time. Again, we thank You for meeting us. And Lord, we just give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, you can stretch a minute if you want, just to loosen up a bit. So let me read 69, and then we'll look at it. Save, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I've sunk in deep mire. There's no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. O God, it's Thou who dost know my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from Thee. May those who wait for Thee not be ashamed through me, O Lord of God of hosts. May those who seek Thee not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I have become reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for Thy house has consumed me. And the reproaches of those who reproach Thee have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate talk about me. I'm the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to Thee, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in Thy greatness of Thy loving kindness, answer me with Thy saving truth. Deliver me from the mire. Do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me. And may the deep not swallow me up. May the pit not shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Lord, for Thy loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of Thy compassion, turn to me. Don't hide Your face from Thy servant. For I'm in distress. Answer me quickly. Oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. Thou dost know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before thee. Reproach has broken my heart. I am so sick. I look for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table become before them a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see. May their loins shake continually. Pour out thine indignation on them. May thy burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents. For they have persecuted me, whom thou thyself hast smitten. They tell of the pain of those to whom thou hast wounded. Do thou add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into thy righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life. May they not be recorded with the righteous. But I'm afflicted and in pain. May thy salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I'll praise the name of God with song, and shall magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. The humble have seen it, and they're glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy. He does not despise his who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. And the descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. Amen. Okay. Well, when we see this psalm, I think we're getting a picture of a man that is going through a really, really tough time. He's in the ringer, and it's really tough. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way for me to make sense of this psalm, and hopefully this will be helpful to you, is I tried to break it down into different sections to kind of follow a flow of prayer. So I'm going to be kind of jumping around all over this psalm. And, you know, if you have a pencil, paper, and you want to jot down some of these sections, it might give some insight down the road as you're going through a hard time, maybe how to work through that hard time. So first thing I think is we start out like, okay, what is the issue? He is experiencing a really, really hard time. And this is the way it seems to him. This is 69, right in the beginning. Skip that first statement. Here's what he's experiencing. For the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk deep in the mire. There's no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and a flood overwhelms me. When I get a picture of that, I've never been around quicksand. But, you know, probably we've all seen on the TV, you know, these old movies, and this person's there, and the harder they try to get out of this mire, this quicksand, they go deeper. And you can almost get a picture, if you were in quicksand and you're sinking and you're trying to get right and you're going down, 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 down. There's a panic rising up in us. And he's describing just like, I feel like I'm sinking. I'm being swallowed up. Like, man, Lord, you better get here quick or I'm done. And then he also does the idea of these deep waters. I don't know if you've ever felt like you were going to drown. I had an experience once where I got out in the ocean and I thought my feet were touching, but I found out I was over into the water deeper. It was a little bit scary, you know, and if you've ever been there where you're paddling and you're just, man, I feel like I could go down. And if I go down, I'm going to suck in water and it could be the end. I think we need to realize as you get into David's shoes, he's gone through a tough time. He feels like he's sinking in the mire. He feels the waters of life are going over him. It is a tough, tough time. And I think, okay, so David, you know, what are you going through, David? What's got you feeling this way? And I think if you look at some other verses, you'll get a feel for what he's experiencing. Look at verse 4. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. So he says there's a lot of people that hate him. They're out to get him. And he says they're more than the hairs of my head. So there's a good number of people, not one, but a number of people are coming against him. And I think if you look at, 11, he said, the bottom of 11, he said, I have become a byword to them, a byword to them. In other words, those who sit in the gate, they talk about me. I'm the song of drunkards. So people are mocking him out. They're reproaching him. They're making fun of him. It's tough. If you look at verse 7, he says, because for thy sake, I become a reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. He goes a little further. I become estranged from my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. So he's saying people are out to get him. And the problem is not only is it outsiders that are after him and strangers, even his own family, his brothers seem to have turned against David. It's not a good feeling. And he goes on a little bit more on verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach, my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before thee. So there he is. He feels like I'm overwhelmed. I'm sinking in the mire. The water's coming over. Everybody's coming against me. They're out to get me, even my own family. I'm being made fun of. He's in a really bad situation. So I guess what I would say right off the bat, are you going through a really hard time in your life at this point? You may not be going through the deal where people are shooting arrows at you and reproaching you and making fun of you, but it's very possible that somebody on the screen could be feeling like, you know, man, Lord, I am sinking. And I feel like the harder I try, I'm sinking deeper. And I feel like the waters of life are going to wipe me out and drown me. So if you're not in that situation now, usually in life, we encounter those times more than once. Times when life just seems to gang up on us. And if you're not in that kind of situation now, thank you, Jesus, that's good. But it's very probable at somewhere before we die, we're going to be in this situation that David had. Maybe not the same thing with people reproaching us, but just this feeling like I am overwhelmed by my problems. So then next thing I think, okay, David, how does that affect you? What is your emotions now that you're going through this situation? And I look at verse 3. As he's going through these struggles, here's what he feels. He says, I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. You ever been there? He says, he's just been, I mean, here's a man, right? He's a tough guy. He's a warrior. And this guy is brought so to the end that he's literally in tears. He's just overwhelmed with life and he's literally crying and his eyes just are constantly tearing up. His throat is all torn up because of the crying and the upsetment. He is really going, and he says, God, my eyes fail. Not only does he have this tearing, but it's like, I'm waiting for you. God, show up. God, show up. And which one of us have not been there in life where you want God to show up, but he's not showing up yet? And we can't just snap our fingers and say, God, I'm in a jam. You got to come up right now. No, we can't order that. And he says, all I can do is I wait for you, Lord, to come into my situation. There's a psalm that I think is a special psalm that you can identify with that waiting. This is Psalm 62. David says this, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." David says, sometimes we just literally have to wait on the Lord. We can't deliver ourselves. We may try to, but I tell you, somewhere I believe in life, all of us get to the point where, man, Lord, if you don't show up, I am done. This is way beyond me. I'm sinking. And Lord, you need to deliver me. So he talks about that, that he's weary. And look at verse 20. He says, "Reproach has broken my heart. I am so sick." Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a broken heart? And I would think somewhere in each of our lives, our heart has been broken by circumstances, by people. People that said something that just really got to us, or people that forsake us when we really needed them. He says, basically, my heart's broken. He said, I'm so sick. It's just like life is so hard for me now. And he says, I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. That's really tough. He says, I'm going through a hard time. I'm looking for somebody I can talk to, somebody I can pour my heart out with, somebody that might show me a little love and sympathy. And he said, there's nobody out there. That's a tough situation to be all by ourselves. But we need to remember, even if everybody on the planet forsakes us, there's one person that will not, and that's God himself. And that's what he's doing. He ultimately has to look to the Lord at that point. So if you look at verse 8, he said, I've become estranged again. His family, again, it's bad enough with strangers, but when your own family won't be there to sympathize with you, that's got to even hurt all the more. And if you look at 29, the beginning, he says, but I'm afflicted and in pain. So there you are. I mean, the problem is it's overwhelming him. He's crying. He's afflicted. He's in pain. His heart's breaking. This is a tough, tough situation for David. Okay? So I'm sure we've probably been there. Somewhere along the way, life just seems like, if you've ever had the thought like, Lord, I wouldn't mind if you took me now. And I can't imagine if you've been long here. I know that's probably gone through my mind a couple of times. Like, Lord, this is, it just beam me up, Lord. I've had enough of life. And that's where David is at this point. So what do you do? What do you do when you're at the end of your rope and you just feel like life is pressing in on you and squeezing you, but good? I think what we've got to do, we got to pray. That's the bottom line. So what's David do? He's gone through the ringer, and what's he say? The first word in the psalm, save me, oh God. God, help me, save me. I can't get out of the fix I'm in all by my own smarts and my own power. God, would you save me? If you look at verse 13, but as for me, my prayer is to thee, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. Deliver me from the mire. Do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me. May the deep not swallow me up. May the pit not shut its mouth on me. He is crying out to God, answer me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good, according to the greatness of thy compassions. Turn to me. He's crying out to the Lord. And I think probably the most important thing, I was reading this the other day, and it struck me again, when we begin to pray, not to run directly into prayer. Okay, God, and we give this big petition, but to remember who we're talking to when we pray. So often we just run in, and it's almost like in our prayers, we're talking to the air. But I think we need to just, before we even pray, okay, Lord, let me focus. Let me remember, okay, Lord, who am I talking? I'm talking to you, God. You made the heavens and you made the earth, Lord. Lord, you're aware of me. Lord, you see me where I'm at. Lord, you're hearing the words of my mouth. You're the living God. You sustain the earth. You are sovereign. You're ruling the nations. You're ruling my life. We just need to remember when we're praying, we're talking to the living God who created us and who's involved in this hard time we're going through. So when we need to pray, it's important to focus on the Creator. Get our eyes off us for the best we can by the grace of our Lord. Get our eyes off the problem and focus, Lord, Lord, Lord. And that's what he does. There's an instinct to David, like, man, I am going down. Lord, help me. He's praying to God. But then it's interesting, in 17, he says, do not hide thy face from thy servant, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly. Oh, draw near to my soul. Redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. For thou dost know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. He said, don't hide thy face. And I think we've all had that experience too. And we wonder, like, Lord, why don't you show up in the toughest times of my life? I'm sure everybody is wrestler. I'm crying out with my guts. And Lord, I can't seem to find you. I can't sense your presence. Like, Lord, show up. David says, don't hide your face. When God's face shines upon him, that means, in a sense, I'm sensing your presence, Lord. I know. And he said, oh, God, please, 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 please don't abandon me. But sometimes that's something we may feel, particularly when life is crashing in and our emotions are shot and we're tired. It may be hard to sense the presence of God. But nonetheless, even though we may not feel God, that doesn't mean he's abandoned us. Doesn't mean he's not aware of our situation. He's still there and he's still listening. And David's appealing. He said, Lord, according to your loving kindness, he says, God, I know I don't understand everything I'm going through, Lord, but I'm appealing to your loving kindness. I know I've experienced it in the past, Lord. I may not be feeling it at the moment, but Lord, I know you love me. I know you're kind. And he hangs on to that. And then on verse 29, the last half of that, I believe he cries out, may thy salvation, O God, set me securely on high. Lord, save me, set me on high. So there we are. So where we're getting, number one, he's gone through the ringer. He has all these kind of feelings, okay? That's where we've been so far. And at that point, he begins to cry out, God, in prayer, okay? Now, what I think happens sometimes in prayer, we're praying and God seems to be hiding his face. We're not seeing God come through per se. So David says, maybe I need to take a step further. Maybe I need to fast. Maybe I need to fast. Look at verse 10 and 11. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. So David basically fasts. And fasting is a way of drawing near to God and saying, God, you're more important than food at the moment. God, you're my food. God, I mean business in this prayer. Lord, I'm giving everything I have in fasting. There's some verses on fasting that are interesting. There's a crisis going on with Israel. And in Joel, this is an Old Testament prophet, Joel 1:13, the Lord says through Joel, it says this to the people of Israel, gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests, wail, O ministers of the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. For the grain offering and the libation are withheld from the house of God. And here he is, consecrate a fast. Proclaim a psalm assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to God. So the prophet says, man, you guys are in a mess. You better get close to God quick. And he says, call fast. In other words, mean business with God. And there's another reference to fasting. I mean, it's very, very powerful. It's in 2 Chronicles. And that's chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 1. Israel is facing a really, really hard predicament. And notice what happens. Now it came about after this, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. So in other words, this big multitude is coming in to swallow up Judah. It's bad. What's the king do? And Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Good thing to do when you're afraid. He said, God, man, my attention's on you. You better show up or we're in a mess. He turned his attention to seek the Lord, and notice what he did. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And Jesus, by the way, he talks about fasting. This is Matthew 6:16. He said this, and whenever you fast, interesting, Jesus didn't say, if you fast. The implication is that we are called to fast at different times. He says, and whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to seek to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but your Father who's in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So Jesus is saying there's a time to fast. And he said also God will honor that. So again, fasting is not to put a squeeze on God and say, God, if I fast, I'm forcing you. Fasting is in a sense to get your spiritual ears open and your spiritual eyes open. It's to prepare a spiritual state within your heart that you have a better shot to hear when God wants to speak. So David's going through a hard time. He begins to pray, God, save me. He's not seeing an immediate answer. So I think he then does the next step. I'm going to fast, God. Maybe I need to add that to my prayer. But then I think he takes another step saying, Lord, is there anything in me that might be stopping my prayer from being answered? Look at verse 5. He says, O God, it is thou who dost know my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from thee. So I think David's wondering, Lord, have I done something to get me in the predicament that I'm at? And basically, there's another very powerful psalm. This is Psalm 139. Again, it's a Psalm of David. But listen to the last words of Psalm 139. This is 139:23. David says this to God, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In other words, I hear David saying here, Lord, is there anything in my life that's blocking the answer to prayer? Lord, is, you know, am I doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing? Lord, and I think he'd say, you know, Lord, I can deceive myself. I think everything's just ducky, everything's fine. But maybe there's something, Lord, you see in me I don't see. Maybe it's a bad motivation. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Maybe it's some secret sin I'm not aware of. Lord, I want you to answer my prayer. Lord, if there's anything in me that's blocking the answer, show me. That's a heavy duty prayer. That's a heavy duty prayer, because God at times may go, and we've seen it biblically, where God says, yeah, I want to answer your prayer, but man, you got to do something here. You got to deal with this issue in your life. And if you don't deal with the issue, you're blocking my ability to bring the answer to prayer. So he prays in the hard time. I believe he adds fasting. I think he basically then at that point begins to say, Lord, are there any blocks? And then he says, God, I want justice. And catch these words. These are strong, strong words. Look at 22. Talking about his enemies, may their table before them become a snare. And when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see. Make their loins shake continually. Pour out thine indignation on them. May thy burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell on their tents. He is saying, God, blast them. 26, for they have persecuted me, him whom thyself have smitten. They tell the pain of those whom thou hast wounded. And then here he adds again, do thou add iniquity to their iniquity. May they not come into thy righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life. May they not be recorded with the righteous. I mean, he's saying, like, Lord, just get them. I don't want them. In my presence, Lord, you get rid of them, get them away even from you, Lord. And he goes on a little bit further. That's it. Well, I guess that's pretty much, he's pretty much got it out of his system. So the question is that the way we're to add? Ask, okay, you know, somebody's giving you a hard time. You basically said, God, strike him dead. Lord, send a lightning bolt. These people are persecuting me. And you wonder, like, you know, I've wrestled, like, that's pretty strong stuff. Why did David do that? And to be honest with you, I can see why he'd be ticked off. I'm sure we'd all be ticked off if somebody's given us grief and persecuting us. But is that really the way God wants us to respond? And I think of Jesus in... this is in Matthew 5 and Matthew 5, 43. Listen to Jesus. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and you shall hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For even if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than any others? Therefore, you are to become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. My best understanding here is, hey, if we have enemies, we're persecuted, I don't think we're supposed to say, Lord, send the fire against them. From what I hear Jesus basically saying here is we need to love our enemies and we need to pray for them. I think the ultimate example If anybody had a right to pray the prayer of David, like, God, strike him, Jesus on the cross had that right. To shout at him, said, God, Father, you blot him out. These are a bunch of evil people. Strike him down. And what does Jesus say from the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Kathy and I just saw a video of a guy by the name of Richard Warbrand, and he has a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs. And we saw that it was a shocking movie of this man that was literally tortured for his faith. He's Romanian, but he was in a Russian prisoner of war camp, and he was tortured terribly, just painful to see. And yet he blessed and prayed for the people that were afflicting the pain on him. So I don't have an easy answer. David, is that right for David to say, bring justice? I think what we can say this much is we can say, Lord, you deal with that situation. Lord, you in your justice deal with that. This is not my business, Lord. I'm handing them to you. If they need justice, you take care of it. I think we can say that. But at the same point, I think in the New Testament, we're commanded to forgive. So just a little bit more. So he's praying. He has fasting. God, search me. He pours out his heart, whether it's to ask for justice or forgiveness. And then I believe he says, God, in this hard problem, Lord, don't let me fall apart. Don't let this trial overwhelm me to the point I give up and I give in and I'm done. Notice what he says here again. Let me get this Psalm 69. And if you look at verse 6, may those who wait for thee not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek thee not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. In other words, he said, God, you gotta, God, get me through. I don't want to fall, Lord, because if I do, I'm going to let you down. And not only am I going to let you down, other people, they may be dishonored by my not keeping my faith in you. So he's really saying, God, give me grace. And maybe we've been there too, when the problem, you're saying, God, you got to give me grace, or maybe I'm going to lose my faith, or I'm going to lose my mind or something. Lord, you got to show up, because I am at the end of my rope. And I think at that point, Paul at one point in Philippians says these words. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that what David is saying, God, I can't, the mire, it's too much. God, you please, grace, 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 grace. And I think in another soap, I said it, I think we need to realize that God said, I will give you grace for the hardest time you're going to face in your life. It's not going to be easy, but I will give you grace to get through. God gave grace to this man in the prisoner of war camp. It was tough, but God gave him grace to keep the faith and get through. I believe God will give us grace if we're persecuted. Probably one of the greatest fears we all have is not so much death. If we know Jesus, we know when we die, we see him face to face, we're in a better place. But nobody wants to die in a painful way. But I think, again, God promises in his word, I'll give you grace. Even as you're on the way out, even if you're going through a hard time, I'll give you grace to get through no matter what it is. And it's interesting to me, as David works through all these emotions, basically at the end, I think as he prays through, he begins to end the prayer, I believe, with a praise. Like, Lord, I know you got it. If you look at verse 30, he says this, I'll praise the name of God with song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or the young bull with horns and hoofs. The humble shall be seen and they will be glad. But you who seek God, let your heart revive. He's beginning to get some faith. God's beginning to show up. He begins to say, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to show up. He begins to see it turning as he called out to the Lord. And he's encouraging others. When you're going through the hard times, seek God. Seek God and he'll revive you. He'll begin to breathe new life into you when you're about ready to cave in and throw in the towel. He says, for the Lord hears the needy. He does not despise his who are prisoners. So he's just encouraging himself and not God's hearing. He's worthy of my praise. I know he's going to come through. And the beauty of it, I think, is David works through his whole human predicament. As it kind of wraps, he begins to get his eyes off himself and gets the bigger picture of other people. Look at 34. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion, that's Jerusalem. He'll build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. And the descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. So I think that's the way I would kind of look at the segments. There's a problem. It affects us. We're driven to our knees in prayer, and we cry out to God, Lord, help, save. And at times the God may say, no, you need to fast, add fasting, seek my face diligently. And then David says, but as I'm fasting, Lord, is there anything in me that's blocking? Lord, show me. And then again, he calls out either for forgiveness or justice. He prays, God, give me the strength so I don't cave in. And at the end, I believe as he prays through the whole thing, he begins to end with praise. Lord, you got it. You're going to take care of me. And just two other little things. There's two references in this psalm to Jesus. If you look at verse 9, he says, for zeal for thy house has consumed me. It's interesting. In John 2:17, that verse is quoted. And it's quoted when Jesus goes into the temple and they're polluting the temple. And they're bringing stuff in and overcharging people. And instead of a worshipful place, it's just a place to buy stuff, trade stuff. And Jesus takes a whip and drives out stuff. He says, Jesus, for zeal for my house, he got so fired up. Like, guys, what are you doing to my father's house in the temple? And he takes the whip and drives them out. So there's a quote there. And then there's another quote in the New Testament. If you look at verse 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And that's a quote from Matthew 27:34, where as Jesus is on the cross and he says, I'm thirsty, people go out and they give him some of this drink, some wine to try to quench his thirst. So actually, there's two references here that Jesus basically lives out in the New Testament. So that's the nitty gritty of David. He went through the ringer. And by the way, this is not the only psalm that he struggles. I mean, there's other psalms. And I think we identify with the psalms because life is not always neat. Life isn't always easy. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's painful. But I think the beauty of the Psalms is they show us how to navigate the hard times, how to pray through, how to connect with God, how to be honest with God, and not just say polite prayers, but to pour out our heart and say, God, here's the deal. And I guess I'll end with that, that prayer doesn't have to be all polished with pretty words. Prayer is just being dead honest with God. And when you're happy, tell him. When you're frustrated and upset, tell them. When you're mad, tell them. When you're depressed, tell him. When you're anxious, tell him the whole deal. Because he wants us to be real and he wants to be honest and he will respond. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Psalm 69. As we see a man that's struggling, God, we can identify, Lord, somewhere in our past, we've been in this ringer. And if we haven't, Lord, probably somewhere in the future we will. But Lord, I believe you give us some ways to navigate the hard times, to be able to pour out our emotions to you, to be able to come to you and say, Lord, save me. And sometimes, Lord, you may nudge us to fast, or you may nudge us to say, Lord, is there something in me that's out of whack because my life is falling apart? Or Lord, sometimes you just need to, we say, God, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord, I'm sinking. But Lord, I thank you that David ultimately gets back. Lord, I praise you. I praise you, Lord. You're Lord. You know what you're doing. You're with me. You're going to get me through this. So I just want to pray for each of my brothers and sisters on the screen, Lord. Only you know what's going on in their lives, Lord. But I just pray that your Holy Spirit would work a mighty work in them, encourage them, lift them up. Just thank you, Lord. Hear their prayers and bring the answer that you may get the glory and the honor and the praise. And Father, we just lift up this election day. Father, I just pray for each of us and for others that are voting. Lord, let us be open to your Spirit. Let us be true to our conscience. Help us to vote, and we're trusting, Lord, you're going to work in this election for your glory and your honor. And it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. And the sun is up, Mike. There you go. Have a great day. God bless you, folks.